You want to find in your Bibles Matthew chapter 7. We'll be looking at verses 21 to 29. Here's the phrase I want you to hold on to this morning. Jesus is the epitome of what it means to be human. Jesus is the epitome of what it means to be human. Now, if that's true, then there's no greater mark of humanity than to be a follower of Jesus Christ. So if Jesus is the epitome of what it means to be human, there's no greater mark of humanity than to be a follower of Jesus Christ. It is the most important thing that you could do, is to find your fullness, your full expression, yourself, in following Jesus. And really, that's what we're going to see here in this passage of Scripture, this sense about Jesus being the epitome of what it means to be human. If you want to be strong, if you want to be wise, if you want to be blessed, you find all of those things patterning your life after Jesus' life, obeying Jesus, becoming like Jesus. I don't know anybody in the world, I don't know anybody in this room, I hope, that doesn't want to be wise, strong, and blessed. I want to be a wise person. I want to be a strong person. I want to be blessed. You don't want to be foolish. You don't want to be weak. And you don't want to be cursed. Right? So everybody in this room wants to be wise. They want to be strong. They want to be blessed. And Jesus is going to wrap up this magnificent sermon, this Sermon on the Mount, with a very simple admonition to each and every one of us. And that admonition is the key to being wise, strong, blessed, fully human, the way God designed you to be. And so it's a remarkable sermon that we've seen, and these are remarkable closing words. So let's start with Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21. He says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven, he will enter. Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name cast out demons, and in your name perform many miracles?' And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.' Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them may be compared to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and they slammed against that house. And yet it did not fall, for it had been founded on the rock. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and slammed against that house, and it fell, and great was its fall." When Jesus had finished these words, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, for he was teaching them as one having authority and not as their scribes. Jesus is the epitome of what it means to be human. And there is no greater mark of humanity than to be a follower of Jesus Christ. And in following Jesus Christ, you will be strong. And in following Jesus Christ, you will be wise. And in following Jesus Christ, you'll be blessed. The very simple message that Jesus ends his sermon with, the very simple admonition that he tells us here at the end, is to hear what I say and do it. Hear what I say and do it. It is the true mark of discipleship. Discipleship is marked out by fruit and obedience. It is marked out not by what we say, not by what we know, not by how many times we've heard, but it is marked by what we do. And that, people, is the simple, simple message that Jesus wants you to take away today. In fact, I should stop talking right now. The Lord bless you. Have a great day. Go in peace. Because it's that simple, and the more I talk, the more danger there is for me to clutter this up for you. And it is that simple. Actions speak louder than words, right? How many of you said that to your kids? Actions speak louder than words. Don't tell me what you're going to do, just do it, right? And that's what Jesus is telling us. He said, you've sat through this sermon now for however long it was. I don't know if it was a long, long sermon or we got the shortened version here. But that's what I got for you. And now here's the application. You can hear this all day long, but if you don't do it, you're a fool. And that really is what we need to take to heart today. That our actions speak louder than our words. How many of you have heard this phrase? The check is in the mail. And if you're doing that with your Christianity, if you're doing that with your obedience, if you're telling God the check's in the mail, you're in trouble. This is not what he wants from us, is just to be people who get the right language down, who speak the right words. He's not even really interested totally in the right doctrine as just a, you know, in and of itself. Doctrine, our beliefs, we call it orthodoxy, must have some expression in our practice, which we call orthopraxy. Orthodoxy has to lead to orthopraxy. What I believe has to come out in what I do. In the year 1000, Saint Bernard of Clairvaux, said these words. And you know, when phrases or quotes last for 1,000 years, there's some substance to them. And he said this: the road to hell is paved with good intentions. And that too is what Jesus is telling us here. It's not your intentions that count. It's not your good desire that counts. It's not the conviction you feel in the pew that counts. It's what you do. Now, these simple words that I'm hoping to not clutter up for you are painful. These are words that are difficult for us, but they're necessary. And so Jesus ends this magnificent sermon with this encouragement to us that we should be people who do what we say we're going to do, who act upon what we believe. This is what keeps us from being hypocrites. This is also what defines us as disciples, because there's another warning here. And the warning is, hey, you could be part of the crowd, but not part of the in group. And you don't just want to be a peripheral person in relationship to Christ. You don't want to be one of those people who participates in all of the events, but you don't really know him. So we don't want to be the one, he says, that, you know, Lord, Lord, I did all these things. And he says, depart from me, because you didn't do my will. You are a worker of lawlessness. It was all lip service. And it wasn't reality for you. And Jesus is warning us at this point. He's telling us that cannot be the case. We have to take this that we believe and that we say is important to us, and we have to begin to implement it into our lives. So how do you know you are a disciple? What is the will of God? Are you in danger of being a stranger to God? Because not everyone makes it. And this passage tells us that many will be excluded. Many will have those horrible words spoken to them. Depart from me. So there's a fear of exclusion, and there's a need on our part to be included, to be included in the mix. And so we want to find out what it means to build with good things on rock instead of being built on, have our house built on sand. We want to know what are the keys to strength. We want to know what to avoid so that we don't fall. So, what does Jesus actually tell us to do? Let's talk about that for a minute. Because if it's more important for us to do things than to say things, what is Jesus actually telling us to do? Now, the Bible's a big book. We could sit here all day long and make a very, very, very long list of all the different things that the Scriptures tell us to do. But let's just make it simple. We've been in the Sermon on the Mount, which may be Jesus' primary sermon that he ever preached. And let's just stick with that. So let's just stay with what Jesus has told us to do in this sermon. Now let's just walk through the Sermon on the Mount very quickly and pick out some of the things that he says. Now, one of the first things that I want you to notice is how important this is to Jesus, this encouragement to do and not just say. Because he says it here at the end. He ends the sermon with this story that's in our heads that we sang as children, stories about this. It's an important story that solidifies in our minds the importance of doing the will of God instead of just saying it. But at the very beginning, like a good preacher, he bracketed his message from at the beginning and the end with this admonition to us. You remember chapter 5, verse 16? When he said, "Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." At the very beginning of this sermon, he's going to emphasize it's not so much believing, it's not so much saying that I'm interested in. I want you doing something that people recognize, and in doing that, it points them to God and brings glory to his name. So it's not just your words, it's your deeds. It's what you do. Let your light shine in that way. Make sure that whatever you speak is backed up with action. Don't be a hypocrite. A few verses later, in verse 19, he says, "Whoever keeps and teaches these commandments shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven." Now, if you know anything about the Old Testament law and the instruction in the Old Testament, the Old Testament law was given so that fathers could teach their children the law. And it wasn't classroom teaching that they were interested in. It was teaching along the road. It was teaching on the way. It was teaching by example. So take these things and live it. Live it in the sight of your children so that they may walk in the way that they should walk. Walk in the law. And so Jesus, right at the beginning, is emphasizing this principle. And then he jumps into that section. You remember the section in chapter 5 where he says, "You have heard it said, but I say to you." You remember that section? And went through six things. The first one was murder. "You've heard it said, thou shalt not murder." And we go, "Oh, easy, I'm covered there. I got that one covered. I'm good." Right? But Jesus kind of turns the wrench a little more. He says, "But I say to you, don't even be angry with your brother." So we talked about anger. So here's the question. That was 6 weeks ago, seven, maybe 8 weeks ago, we talked about anger. And Jesus is telling us today, I don't want to hear what you have to say. I don't care if you know the right answer. I don't care if you know the verse and you understand the antitheses and what Jesus is driving at. Do you still have anger in your heart towards your brother? On that day when we talked about anger, were you convicted about a relationship that was out of control in your life? And I bet a lot of you were. And you said, "Man, I need to deal with my anger." So the question is now, 9 weeks later, 8 weeks later, 6 weeks later, did you? Because Jesus says, "I'm not interested in you knowing the right answer. I'm not interested in you being just a hearer of what I say. I want you to act on it." So if I tell you that anger is destructive and you shouldn't have anger in your relationships, it's like murder. That when you're angry, you should make peace with your opponent along the way. That if you're at the altar worshiping and you remember that you have anger against your brother, get up, get out, and go resolve that issue with your brother. The question then is now kind of floating around the air today, and it's the question you need to deal with. What did you do? What did you do with the conviction you felt in the pew that day? "I'll do it later." What did you do? The next section is about lust. We talked about lusts ability to consume you and control you and drive you, grab a hold of your values, grab a hold of your pocketbook, grab a hold of your heart, grab a hold of your relationships and distort them. And maybe you were convicted as we talked about that. And the question becomes not, hey, did you know that's the second thing in the list? That's not the issue. The issue is, what did you do? What did you do? Did you listen to my words? Because if you didn't listen to my words, guess what? You're on a path of foolishness. Guess what? You're on a path of destruction. Guess what? You're not on a path that's going to lead you to blessings. And then he talked about divorce. Right? So we talked about how it's important to invest in your marriage and in that commitment and that relationship. And to not harbor ill will toward your spouse. Not to manufacture and cultivate bad thoughts and ideas, to badmouth your spouse in your mind. And how you needed to take steps to encourage your spouse, to grow your relationship with your spouse. So, what did you do? Did you feel convicted in the pew? And then walk home and keep doing the same old thing? Well, guess what? If you keep doing the same old thing, that house is going to be destroyed fairly quickly. Literally. And Jesus says, I'm not interested in you hearing what I have to say. Did you do it? So we can go on to the next thing. And we can talk about vows. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. So how about your commitments in life? Have you kept them? When you heard this section on vows and making commitments and being true to your word and having integrity with the interior part of your person, when you say something that matches my inside and actually the inside matches the outside and now I'm doing what I say I'm doing, are you doing that? Again, that's right there smack dab in what we're talking about. Is your yes, yes, and is your no, no? Did you say you would do something and not do it? Jesus again goes on to talk about going the second mile and loving your enemies. And we talked about not cultivating hatred in your heart. And to think about your enemies. And we talked, you remember, about enemies at every level, global to personal. And so what have you done with the hatred that's in your heart? Have you cultivated it? Are you feeding it and watering it? Is it still dominating your thinking and your perspective? As you think about your neighborhood, about your relationships, and about your world? As Jesus says, I'm not interested in you knowing the right answer and yakking about it. This is uncomfortable, isn't it? I want you to get rid of it because it's not the way of wisdom. It is not the way of strength. It is not the way of blessing to let these things continue. It is not the way of strength. It is not the way of wisdom. It is not the way of blessing to not do what I tell you. Because I am Jesus. I am the epitome of what it means to be human. And following after me is the epitome of what it means to be human. It's the mark of everything that is human. And God made us as humans, and he wants us to fulfill that creative purpose. And we fulfill that creative purpose by becoming like Christ. And Jesus says, this is what I'm like. You want to begin to behave this way. Because being a disciple is learning from Jesus. And then secondly, it's behaving like Jesus. And we just don't want to accumulate head knowledge. We want to begin to act in a way that transforms us. Jesus goes on to talk about giving to the poor. Cultivating mercy towards those who are in need. He goes on to talk about prayer and the importance and the centrality of prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Go into your prayer closet, close that door and pray. He talked about fasting. We talked about how that would be an important thing to incorporate into your life to kind of see the connection between heaven and earth. So we ask the question, have you acted on any of that stuff? Maybe when you were sitting in the pew, you said, I need to pray more. I'm not praying enough. I'm absorbed with myself and my own strength. I've become self-sufficient. I've asked God out of my life. I need to pray more. I need God to be the center of my life again. Okay, that's fantastic. I hope that happened. So what did you do? Did you hear the words and act on them? Or have you cultivated a habit of just coming and hearing and having nothing change when you walk out the doors? Jesus is saying, that's not what I'm interested in. I'm not interested in you coming here and hearing. I want you to act on what I say. He goes on to talk about seeking the kingdom and not letting the worries of the world dominate your life. He talks about not ever judging. Don't do that. Don't ever judge. And so we have to ask the question. We heard. Are we acting? Do we change anything? Are we still letting judgmentalism drive us because we enjoy it? We do. And don't lie to yourself about this. You like it. It makes you feel superior. And we all want to feel superior. That's why we judge. So Jesus is asking us now. He says, listen, we've gone through the whole thing now, just kind of in a nutshell. And guess what? The one who hears me and acts on those things is like the wise man who built his house on the rock. And the one who doesn't is like the foolish man who built his house on the sand. It's a very simple sermon today. Jesus tells us to hear his words and act on them. Hear his words and act on them. Now here's the deal. A lot of us do all kinds of things to short circuit this process. We all sit here and go, why do I do that? Why am I now seeming to align myself with the dork building his house on the sand? Why am I that guy? Right? Why? I mean, it's like, I don't want to be that guy. I want to be the guy who builds his house on the rock. I like the words of Jesus. I like Jesus. I want to please him. Why don't I? Why don't I do that? And so we have to talk about the things that keep us from following after Christ wholeheartedly and doing the acts, not just the lip service. Well, the first thing I want to tell you is this, and we'll talk about this in a kind of a Trinitarian way, because I think that's good. The first thing we need to do is go back to the very, very beginning. And I'll tell you this, if you are not obeying the words of Jesus, it's very simple. It's because you don't trust him. It's very simple. Don't miss this. If you're not obeying Jesus, it's because you don't trust him. Now think about it. Think about any project you've started, anything new you've started where you're kind of venturing into a new area and you have to learn how to do it. Typically, all of us, when we're in that position, we seek the advice of an expert, right? So if I'm going to work on my car, if I'm going to build something in the backyard or add something to the house or remodel my bathroom, if I'm going to plant a garden, if I'm going to sew something or knit something or cook something, anything, and I don't know quite how to do it, what I'm going to do is seek out the expertise of an expert. And when I put that title on them, expert, what comes with that is trust. So I'm going to do what they tell me because they know what they're talking about. And if I don't do what they tell me, it's because I don't believe they know what they're talking about. So if I go to the doctor and he gives me a diagnosis, I say, I don't think so. When he gives me a prescription, I don't take it. I have a prescription at home that the doctor gave me a little, almost a year ago, because he said he thought I had some sort of thyroid issue. And I said, no, I don't. I do not. I don't have any of the symptoms, and I'm not taking that. I didn't trust his diagnosis, so I didn't obey him. And that is the same here, the very beginning, if you're not doing what Jesus tells you, it's an issue of trust. Believing and trusting are synonyms. You sat down in that pew today because you believed it would hold you up. You trusted the integrity and the strength of the pew to hold your weight. So just without thinking, you sat down on it because you trusted it. You obeyed that principle and you acted on it, and it's based in trust. And so this is the very beginning, is that if you're having trouble obeying and acting, you need to come back and shore up your trusting and believing. And the foundation of that is God is good. And he's concerned about me. And if God is good and he's concerned about me, when he gives me instructions, I believe that they're for my best interests. And I trust you more than I trust my own insight. I trust you enough to overcome my desires and my lust. And I trust you enough to follow this path because it leads to strength, wisdom, and blessing. So that's the first place we've got to start. If you're not believing, if you're not obeying, it's because you don't believe. You just have to shore up trust. Second area, and we're going to talk about this in our next segment of our discipleship series, is that you have to begin walking with the Spirit. So I begin by believing in Jesus, and I add to that a walking with the Spirit. And in a nutshell, this is our next series. We're going to talk about this. We'll explode it and talk to you about what it means to walk by the Spirit and what it means to bear fruit. But in a nutshell, what that means is that I agree with the Spirit. So I agree with him. And so then when he tells me something, I agree with that. And when I agree with something, I typically follow through and I do it. And finally, those things lead us to doing the will of the Father. The things that keep us from doing these things are my own sovereignty, my own sense of I'm in control of my life. I'll do what I want to do, and no one tells me what to do. And that brings us right back to this idea of believing, because that first step of believing is I'm not in charge. I'm not in charge, and you are. I'm not God, you are. I'm not the king, you are. I'm not the Lord, you are. And so I begin to look to you for direction and for guidance, and now I start to say your will is more important than mine. And so until I start that engine going, start kicking myself off the sovereignty seat and putting God on the sovereignty seat, I'm going to continue this pattern of listening and nodding my head and not doing, because I want to do what I want to do. Secondly, sometimes we think too much of what others think about us. It's kind of the flip side of doing these things, practicing our righteousness before men so that they might see us. And it backfires on us. And when we think too much about what others think about me, that keeps us from obedience. And then Jesus reminds us too when he tells us a parable a few passages down the road in a further teaching, when he talks about the sower, and he says that the word is choked out in some people's lives because of the worries of the world and the deceitfulness of wealth and riches. So we get too caught up in what this world offers us, and we start focusing on that, and it starts to edge God out of our lives. Those things keep us from doing that. Those are some of the costs involved, and sometimes we just get too busy. We succumb to what's called the tyranny of the urgent. The urgent things creep into our lives and they kick out the important things. We become too busy, and that keeps us from resting, from meditating, from praying, from fasting, because we just got too much stuff going on and I just don't have any time for this. And Jesus says, you got to be careful about that stuff. It's going to choke you. Our world is full of people who can demonstrate both of these ideals. You can think about them. You can see them in your mind's eye. The people that you admire and you say, they've got it all together. You might even say this, they're lucky. They're not lucky. They've taken steps to build their house on the rock. And you look at it and you want it. And all of us can throw examples out of people who've built their house on the sand. And we look at them and we despair and we feel sorry for them and we feel bad. And you go, I don't want to be that person. And Jesus says it's very simple. Don't make it more complicated than it is. It's very simple. Hear my words and do them. I play softball still. I can actually still run. And Friday night had a softball game. And softball is an interesting sport. I've been playing softball for almost 40 years now. I'm like a veteran softball player. I used to carry my glove and cleats in the trunk, and I would drive by softball fields and stop, because typically when you play softball, guys don't show up, and you can always just, you guys need an extra guy? And I used to do that. I used to play more than once a week. All of our children have been to the softball field within a week of their birth. It's like, bring them to the game. So softball is kind of an interesting sport, you know, because you walk up to a softball field and sometimes, you know, guys are out there pretty ragtag. Our team is pretty ragtag, you know, T-shirts and whatever hat you had in the trunk and, you know, just get out there and play. But some guys come to softball and they look the part. It's like you look over and they've all got uniforms and they all match and shirts and the hats and everything's going on and you kind of go, well, I've been playing softball for 40 years, so I just kind of go, we'll see if you can hit and play. I'll make my judgment after you get on the field and I see what you can do. I'm not impressed with the uniform anymore. It used to be when a guy would walk on the field and they had all that, you kind of go, oh, he's got to be good. Look at it. He looks good. It's just not always the case. So I've been playing a long time. So Friday night, I get up to bat and I like to hit the ball in different places based on where everybody's playing. Where basically, that's the principle. You hit it where they're not. So I look for a pitch. And so I said, I'm going to hit the ball to right field this time. So I need an outside pitch. We start with a 1-1 count. I'm giving you too much information, but anyway. First pitch was inside, and it landed right on the inside corner of the plate. And I didn't want an inside pitch. I wanted an outside pitch, so I just let it drop. So now I have two strikes. And I'm standing there, and I'm going, okay, when you have two strikes and you have to adjust, it's like, well, if I don't get my outside pitch, I'm going to hit it wherever it's pitched. But here came the pitch, and it was a beautiful pitch. It was perfect. And I admired it. And it was beautiful. It was a knuckleball. The guy threw a knuckleball, believe it or not. I was just like, well, that's a great pitch. Strike. You're out. So, you know, just throw the bat and you go to your position. I mean, what else are you going to do? You know, it's like, okay, I'll get up in a couple innings. But the point is this. You can stand in the batter's box all you want. You can look really good. And you can buy an expensive bat. Nice Bible. But if you don't swing, you got no chance. You're not going to play. The next inning, I came up and asked the catcher, I said, do I actually have to swing this bat? It doesn't swing on its own. I actually gotta do it. You have to be a doer, not just a hearer. It's not just about dressing up and coming to church. It's not even about standing in the batter's box. If you're not gonna swing the bat, might as well sit on the bench. Might as well not come. That's what Jesus is telling us. Listen, be a hearer and a doer. Act on what I say. Now let's just keep this simple, okay? Let's just try and keep it simple. Let me give you a couple action points. Just keep it simple. I think one of the things that keeps us from acting is that we think too big. And Jesus says, hey, don't worry about tomorrow. Let's just deal with today. You made a good start today. You came to worship. And worship is good. And that's good. And something may have struck you today. And what you want to do is just say, let me keep this simple. Let me do something. I'm going to start small. So let's just take an example. Maybe a couple weeks ago you were convicted by the sermon on praying. And you said, I need to pray. I need to pray. I need to pray more. Well, just listen. Do 5 minutes. Just do 5 minutes. Remember the parable of the mustard seed. And Jesus says, just a little tiny seed. But when you plant it, it grows into a big tree. So use that principle. Stop trying to be Jesus when you walk out the door and just try to do one thing that he told you to do when you walk out the door. And you find when you do that consistently, all of a sudden, wow, I'm looking a little bit more like Jesus every day. And you've got a lifetime to work it out. So start small. Just do something small. Take one small step towards obedience. When I first interviewed here at the church, we were interviewing at lots of churches, and I was trying to think of how to present myself. And one of the things that I put into my head, and I think this is a good principle to share, is never promise, never disappoint. So when you go to an interview, don't tell them everything you're going to do. Don't make all these big promises. But don't disappoint. You know, when you go somewhere, get to work. Get at it. Stop trying to tell people what you're going to do and just start doing it. Zip the lip and do something. And you'll find that there's a beauty to this principle and a beauty to this way of approaching life. That I just start doing things. I'm not going to tell you what I'm going to do. I'm just going to start doing it. It begins to change people's perception about you. And that's really what Jesus is talking about as well. Don't be a hypocrite. Always yakking, never doing. Just do. Don't complicate it. Don't complicate it. Don't seek for some hidden will of God. Don't ask this question, I don't know what God's will is. Don't do that. Make it simple. Just obey. Just do it. Don't worry about the right way to do it necessarily or finding out the right way to do it. Just begin to do it. I don't know how to pray. Just start praying. Just start talking to God. Don't worry about the rules. Just begin to obey. Don't complicate it. Just keep those commitments. And then I think another very simple principle is this. Just look around you. Love those people within arm's reach. The people that are sitting right next to you. The people that happen along your path. The people that are living next to you. The people that are living with you. Obey Jesus in those arms reached circumstances and relationships. Just do it simply where you are with whom God has placed in your midst. Jesus is the epitome of what it means to be human. And following after Jesus is the mark of what it means to be human. Being a disciple of Jesus Christ is the key to being a full human being, fulfilling your created purpose and being made in the image of God. So hear these words of Jesus and act on them. Father in heaven, this simple message is sometimes very difficult for us. And it's our desire, Lord, today to not be people who hear and just walk away and don't act on them. We don't want to be like that second son in the parable who heard, who said he would, but he didn't. We want to be like that guy, like the person building his house on the rock here as you've described him in Matthew. And we want, Lord, to be strong. We want to be wise. We want to receive your blessings. So, Lord, help us to do what you've told us to do. Help us to be those people who are obedient. And we thank you that you've given us your Holy Spirit so that we're not left alone in this process. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.